Honorable members, good morning. I take this opportunity to greet all of you. I also take this opportunity to greet the staff that is with us from the Portfolio Committee of Parliament on International Relations and Cooperation. We welcome the collective of the department that is here today. I think they are going to be led by Clayson Munyela, if I'm not wrong, unless there's been changes. We welcome South Africans who may be joining us on various platforms which are availed by Parliament to make sure that participatory democracy, the principles of transparency, the principles of ensuring full democracy, participation by our people, and so on, is fully recognized. We welcome the media that may be on the platform to be with us today when we deal with the matter that relates to progress on implementation of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation ICT strategy. Before we go there, can we have apologies, Nolubabalo? I nearly said Nolubabalo. You're not a woman. Yes, Lubabalo?
Oh, good morning, Chairperson. Unolubabalo is my wife, Chair.
Oh.
Yes, Chair. Okay. We share similar names.
that's interesting. It's a nice coincidence. Do you have apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. I have three apologies. One is from the minister. She's attending the United Nations General Assembly. And the other one is from Deputy Minister Portas. He's also out of the country. And also, the last one is from the Director General. He's accompanying the minister. Thank you, Chair. And today, the delegation is led by Deputy Minister Mashego Dlamini, and the Acting Director General is DDG Monyel. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We welcome you, Acting Director General Clayson Munyela. We also welcome our comrade, our mother, our sister, our beloved sister, Honorable Comrade CDM, Kendith Mashego Dlamini, Wamogetsu, my sister. Without wasting time, I'm going to give over to the Deputy Minister to lay the foundation for the presentation by the department, particularly on progress and challenges we have met so far, so that we don't become broad, because in the past we did get a report on why the strategy, how it's going to be implemented, the vision and mission of the department, and how it's going to be catalyzed by the ICT strategy. So I'm going to give over to you, the minister, the deputy minister, and as soon as you are done, you will then give whoever is responsible, I don't know whether it's Clayson or whoever is responsible, to then proceed with the technical part of ICT. Wamogetsu Mama, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My greetings to yourself and our committee chief whip and members of the portfolio committee and the community that is connected with us. Thank you for the invitation to present our update on the department's digital strategy 2020-2025. Honorable Chairperson, the digital strategy 2020-2025 was approved in September 2020 at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, when the world had to adapt to technology and work remotely. Due to this need, there's some noise that I hear, Chair. Chairperson?
I'm on the road.
Okay. You are on the road. Sorry, Chair.
Let me just check here. Lazarus, Laura.
Thank you, Chair.
You can proceed, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Due to this need, Chairperson, the world experienced a global shortage of semiconductors, which are critical components in the production of ICT equipment. This shortage, together with the urgent need for people to work from home, exacerbated huge delay in the distribution of the core component to Africa as a continent, and DECO was equally affected. In implementing the digital strategy 2020-2025, DECO had to ensure that ICT governance structures and best practice frameworks were implemented to ensure that all areas of ICT corporate governance are covered. Five key projects were identified as part of the digital strategy 2020-2025 and are central to the ICT infrastructure stability. DECO has recently appointed a service provider for the global network. I should also mention that this appointment will also assist the department in curbing irregular expenditure since the old service provider's contract has been terminated. The department will finalize the detailed project plan as it starts with the different project stages. The department will quickly adapt to digital diplomacy, especially due to the COVID-19 pandemic, in order to interact with the international diplomatic community through webinars and online meetings. Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, the implementation of the digital strategy 2020-2025 has gained full steam, and it is in progress to ensure that in the financial year 2024-25, there will be a visible outcome of this strategy. In conclusion, Chairperson, let me allow the team to present the ICT update for your consideration through our official, Ms. Molahleki, who is responsible for this ICT in the department. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the members of the committee. Good morning again. I'm quickly going to share the presentation. Can you see the presentation, Chairperson?
Yes, madam.
Yes, it's clear. It's crystal clear. Digital Strategy 2020-25 Implementation Update to the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson.
2020. Yes. You can know Anha, September.
Thank you, Bayer.
Bayer, thank you.
Sure. Chairperson, the outline of this presentation, I'll quickly touch on the strategic vision and also on the ministerial ICT task team that has appointed, just to give a brief to the portfolio committee of where we are coming from with this strategy, and also present the outcomes of that task team that was appointed. And further to that, I'll touch a bit on the ICT governance, the digital strategic core themes, and then the implementation and the digital transformation roadmap that came out out of this process. And towards the end, Chairperson, I'll then give an update on the five key strategic projects that the Deputy Minister indicated. And lastly, I'll touch on the challenges and the recommendations. So effectively, in terms of the strategic vision, we want to digitally transform the DERCO's business capabilities and automate business processes through ICTs to enable efficient delivery of the department's mandate in an innovative, smart, stable, and secure manner. in line with the program one output, it's to improve organizational functioning over the next 5 years, which for now that we have already started, we are looking at the next 3 years, where we'll digitize and automate these business capabilities to ensure or to enable realization of strategic objectives while significantly also improving operational efficiencies. So, Chairperson, during the ministerial ICT task team process, there were interviews, there were work sessions, there were surveys and consultation, as well as global benchmarking on how, as a department, we should craft our strategy for the next 5 years. So out of that whole process, Chairperson and the honorable members, there were ICT pain points that were identified. And mainly one was that the department is running outdated infrastructure. It also running on the, having contracts that have expired. And there was a bit of misalignment of business processes, and shortage of skills, which I'll take, I'll touch a bit as I continue towards the end of the presentation. So emanating from the surveys and the outcomes of, consultations, we then had to look at what are the best practices or frameworks that are out there that governs us as ICT in operating or even implementing our strategy. And these are the key well-known best frameworks that are generally recognized to ensure that as ICT, we also comply to them. To touch just a bit of them, Chairperson, now we'll look at a governance on corporate governance, which is our King 4. Then from the project management framework, which we are following the Prince 2 as a department, but then there are two frameworks that are generally utilized from the project management, which is your Prince 2 as well as a PMBOK. Then the methodology around the system application development, we are using SDLC, which is System Development Lifecycle, and following the Agile methodology. And from the enterprise architecture, there's two well-known frameworks, which is TOGEF and Zachman. And as a department, we are following the government-wide one, which was approved through DPSA, which is called the GUIA. So emanating from that assessment, Chairperson, then there were areas that we needed to then look at, and to look at this governance assessment, there were three areas that were looked at, which was the corporate governance, the governance within ICT, and equally the operational ICT management. And then from that assessment, as we know, within the department, we have the DGF, which is the Director General's Forum. And basically this forum, as ICT, we report in terms of the updates or the, the work that we are doing with, with the projects within ICT. Equally, we also report to the ICT Steering Committee, which is chaired by a DDG and is represented by members from different branches within the department. And it's basically to also ensure that as we implement and bring projects, they are presented at this forum to ensure that they comply with the regulations, as well as to ensure that they also address the needs of the department. And another committee that was recommended was the ICT Operational Committee. Then this committee is led by our branch head, which is the DDG for Corporate Management, where we then, on a weekly basis as ICT, together with the middle managers, report on a weekly basis on the projects that we are doing. From a CIO point of view, I have monthly meetings with the officials, senior managers, to ensure that we also manage and monitor these projects that we have committed the department to do. Directorates within ICT also have their own directorates meeting to ensure that they also monitor and manage at their levels. Honorable Chairperson and the members, the digital strategy the process of the drafting, we then came up with the strategic core themes. And this strategic core themes was mainly to align all our processes in the department. And one was the theme regarding the digital processes, which at the end is going to lead to the digital transformation roadmap, which I will touch a bit on as I present. Then the digital infrastructure, which is also the projects that we will touch on in terms of the progress, digital services and skills, digital mobility, digital safety and security. This is also to ensure that as a global department, we need to ensure that we are secured from possible attacks as cybersecurity also has been a flag, especially since the COVID pandemic. Then the last pillar is looking at the digital online presence. Chairperson and the committee members, emanating from the digital core themes, we then identified six digital strategic activities. And these strategic activities are the ones that on a quarterly basis we report on in terms of the progress. To start off with, the first one is to modernize data storage, applications, network, telephony, and cybersecurity infrastructure. Then the second digital strategic objective is to automate business processes and integrate business information systems. The third one is to provide and support all the digital and information services, including skills development and training. Fourth, a digital strategic activity is to enable and support mobile and remote digital capabilities and services for any time and anywhere access. The fifth one, which is touching mainly on security, is to secure and protect the department's digital environment and users in the cyberspace. And lastly, it's to support the department with digital technologies to engage and promote South African foreign policy and national interests. So these digital strategic activities, Chairperson, our projects emanate from these activities. And what we then did, we mapped them to say, for the next 5 years, which started in 2020, how are you going to then map this, strategic activities? And we did recognize that some of these activities are long-term, some are short-term, and some could be implemented in the medium to long-term, process. We then also looked at, and then what we did, this is when we projectize now the digital strategic activities to say per year, you need to come up with projects that you are going to do because you are not going to be able to implement all these projects, in 1 year. And then we looked at the key pain points to say which are the projects that we need to, target per financial year as also, aligned to our budgeting process and the availability of funds. Chairperson, allow me not to necessarily go through in detail on this project because I will touch based on the key five strategic projects that we are working on. And these are the projects that we started off in 2020. Because of the challenges that the Deputy Minister indicated with the with the pandemic, together with a huge need of tools of trade, as a department, we were equally affected. and we only started to then get our devices for head office. We started to get them in the beginning of the year, and this project is now complete. We are busy with the rollout of the global desktops and laptops for missions, and we started off in August, and as to date, we have about 30 sites that have already been delivered within the Africa continent, which we started off with. Then the next strategic project, Chairperson, it's regarding the data center modernization. Equally on this project, we also received the infrastructure in the beginning of the year. And we are currently setting up the servers. As a matter of fact, they are in their final stages. We have prepared them to be shipped back to Washington and London as the other two hubs that we have in the department. As soon as they arrive, they will do a test, and they will be, you know, to ensure that there's no damages during transit. Then we'll then migrate the data and go for a go live stage. The next project, Chairperson, is regarding the network modernization. This project is to ensure that we refresh our infrastructure, both internally and externally, and we also implement mobility as well as Wi-Fi in the department. This project, as the Deputy Minister indicated, that recently been approved, and the appointment was done in July. We have since kick-started the project, and we are currently now in the transition and the handover process. Chairperson, if I can just maybe also highlight, this is one of the last projects that you know, the members of the portfolio committee were asking, at what point are we going to you know, terminate and finalize the procurement process. And now we are here to report that that process has been finalized. You know, we have now started with a transition. The other key project that we are working on, Chairperson, which is now touching on the business processes, which we would have to assist us to automate and ensure that, you know, work is done seamlessly internally. We have since prioritized the finance and the HR systems. And last year we applied to National Treasury for a deviation request. We have since been engaging on a regular basis with them on the progress, and we are just awaiting a response from them on how then we can progress on this project. The other project that we have targeted for this financial year is regarding the e-submission digital signatures and records management. And to report now is that we are busy with the procurement process of this project. Chairperson, the main challenge that we were faced with, you know, since 2020 was the issue around the stock, which, you know, Deputy Minister articulated. And at least since the beginning of the year, we have now received, you know, we have received equipment, and we are rolling out, as I've just indicated. The other reality, Chairperson, was the fact that most of our projects were delayed due to several, you know, issues. One was related to the re-advertisement, because some projects could not be responded to, you know, accordingly, and then we have to re-advertise, and then the project obviously gets delayed, and it does would then have a huge impact, you know, with the projects that are already out of time, you know, and then cause irregular expenditure. The National Treasury Moratorium, Chairperson, is also giving us a bit of a delay, but we are hoping that we'll be able to get some response, especially after we have engaged through a DG to DG communique to fast track our request. The last one, Chairperson, is regarding the vacancy rate, SICT, a very you know, dynamic environment. We do have a challenges of capacity internally, where also due to the budget pressures within the department, SICT, we are not able to advertise all our posts, because then the budget have to be looked at before we can advertise, you know, everything that, I mean, the posts that are currently vacant. And this has a huge impact, Chairperson and the members, on our implementation of this project. In conclusion, Chairperson, the presentation, I mean, the would like the portfolio committee to, you know, recommend and note the update of where we are as a, you know, ICT internally, and obviously as our strategy still have to run up until 2024-2025. We are still, you know, in implementation mode. Safe to say that we are doing well, except with the challenges that we raise, but then we are pushing forward to ensure that we would realize the implementation at the end of the 2025. Thank you, Chairperson. Over to you.
Thank you very much, my sister. Thanks very much for the presentation. Is there any amplification, addition from the department before we give the members? Anything that may require strengthening or more clarity?
Acting DDG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's Clayson Monyela. And good morning to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Just to add that, Chairperson, after recognizing that some of these projects are long overdue and there's an urgency to try to address some of the glaring gaps, we are now meeting literally on a daily basis to track progress on the projects that the CIO was outlining. In fact, even after this meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're meeting with the team because we are cognizant of the fact that we are playing catch up. I just thought I needed to buttress that point that we're quite alive to the fact that we are behind schedule. And so we are meeting on a daily basis to ensure that nothing falls through the cracks, and where there are blockages, we unblock them. So that we do, in fact, implement the strategy as it has been outlined within the timelines. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Clayson. We will start with Honorable Faber.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I do understand that this is long overdue, that technology is moving on. I mean, even in Parliament, I'm on ICT focus group there, and we're also busy with restructuring and getting it ready for virtual platforms, etc. What actually do concern me, I see it started at 2020, and till now there wasn't really a lot of movement. And then when I hear the presenter saying that the computers and everything is now ready and it's going to be like sort of transported to the US, to our embassies there, that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, surely most of the stuff comes from the US. If not, why don't our embassies and our IT structures in these embassies acquire these computers themselves? We do have IT personnel in these areas. We have security personnel that should be computer literate to see, to protect our IT information, etc. I just don't see the reason why acquiring a whole lot here and then sending it away. Is that standard practice? I would just like to get information on that. Thank you.
Honorable Ngola, thank you very much, Honorable Faber.
Yeah, thank Honorable you very much. Thank you very much, my audible.
You are very, very audible. You are crystal clear.
The thing is, we are look shed at this side, so I was worried about my network. Chair, let us indeed welcome the presentation on the digital strategy by the department, and actually say it has been long overdue. the world is moving quite faster in terms of the digital infrastructure. Chair, I think firstly, I want to check, because in the presentation, it is said that there has been a consultation with stakeholders in the ICT environment. Firstly, I want to check the kind of, just a synopsis of the nature and the kind of stakeholders that which have been consulted. It will help us, Chair, to better understand to what depth has the department consulted in ensuring that there is a formulation of this strategy. There is an issue, Chair, equally that relates to the server storage infrastructure. There is a part there in terms of the status of this project that says the server, when we go live, something like that. But part of what I've seen is that in that part, there is nothing that says we are expecting to go live as it relates to this project in this particular time. Chair, it is true that we are approaching half of the five years since 2020. So it is important that there is some attachment of timeframes in terms of the strategic activity, digital strategic activities, so that we're able to, it will enable the committee itself, Chair, to ensure that there is a seamless guide and a seamless oversight over these projects, which I think they are quite very important. Though there is an issue, Chair, of vacancy rate and internal capacity. Maybe if the Deputy Minister can brief the committee on what strategy are they employing as the department to address the vacancy rate and the internal capacity issues that are presented in the strategy. The last issue, Chair, is on budgetary problems, which I think are one of the key challenges that which will make or kill the strategic implementation. So I want to check if there's been some meetings, negotiations, planning between the International Relations and Cooperation and the National Treasury. And equally, how do they think that this committee can help intervene in this budgetary related matters, particularly to the effect that we approve and disapprove budget in this side. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thanks, Honorable Ngola. The president of the African Christian Democratic Party, Moruti Kenneth, show us the virus, Meshwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Come into my office if you want to see the virus. It is shelved somewhere. Thank you. My apology if I would address something that has been addressed already, because I was in another portfolio committee meeting. I came a bit late and I did send my apologies. I have a twofold question. The first one has to do with the reasons why there was a need to re-advertise projects that delayed the procurement. And the second one, it's about when I came in, the presenter was talking about ensuring that during transportation of equipment that there was no damage. And I heard Honorable Faba referring to not understanding why when computers come from the US, we still have to send them to US, which makes sense. So what I want to know is how the order was made, because even though you buy in bulk, and what you buy has to do to different destinations.
Recording in progress.
Still able to request that the embassies be supplied by the closest office that works with whoever is the supplier. So what necessitates this transportation that we hear about that might cause damage in the process of transporting things to far outlying places? So my simple question is, when you buy bulk, you are still able to request that the nearest store be where the purchases will be collected, where the goods would be collected, because that would assist to eliminate and minimize the chances of equipment being damaged during transportation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, President. Honorable Megan Chetty.
Yeah, good morning, Slalo, and good morning, members. Chair, I'm partly covered by the context of what the Honourable Faber had initiated in his opening question, and the Honourable Michelle as well, around the procurement, because it seems that there's definitely somebody going to be making some money as a middle person, yeah, and whether that could have been avoided. Chair, just the second part will be, when I look at the presentation itself, and it speaks about each of the various apps and stuff that's going to be on the roadmap to it, I just want to find out whether this system that we're now putting into place, will it have the capacity to allow us, which has become a cause for concern in lots of discussions where abroad people, South African residents, have issues around assessing home affairs and passport issues at our embassies. I just want to find out whether an app that this new system that we're going to be putting will also be catered for to allow us access to that. And also, Chairperson, having upgraded everything else, will we be able to give an ease of assistance to those South African citizens who have been having numerous issues in trying to access documentation to be apostilled because of using a specific post office? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Megan Chetty. Honorable Benny Swartz, the Queen.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the Honorable members and officials. Chair, thank you to the department and to the official who has presented to us. Chair, in the opening remarks of the Deputy Minister, if I heard correctly, she hinted that they have replaced BT Communications as the service provider. But today, because we are speaking about ITC, Chair, mine, Chair, is going to be on a question that up to date, I feel...
You have faded, Honorable Swart.
Yes, we've lost Honorable Swart.
Okay. Hopefully she will come onto the platform. Hopefully Honorable Swartz will come back onto the platform. We'll now go to the president of the South African National Civic Organization, Honorable Sumbuzo Mpanza.
Yeah. Yes. Chair, it's sabotage with Honorable Swartz, Chair. They don't want to talk about BT.
No, don't worry. The Queen will come back. The Queen will be back. Honorable Swartz will come back. President.
Thank you. you are on top of yourself today, Chairperson.
What is happening,
Chair? Chairperson,
we lost you.
Weekend in Ghana.
Let's allow the Queen to come back, and then we'll come back again.
Am I audible now, Chair?
Yes, we lost you, the Queen. We are happy you are back now.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair.
You were at a point when we lost you at a point when you were talking about BT Communications, said by the Deputy Minister in the opening remarks.
Yes, no, she did not exactly talk about BT, but she hinted that they've got a new service provider. And I am assuming the service provider is the one that is now servicing the missions on ICT, which chair has been in this committee, something we've been harping on over and over again, because if I'm not mistaken, that tender was re-advertised 3 or 4 times to get a replacement for BT Communications. And by the way, BT Communications was a green project, and we've always been talking about it. So my question is, if there's a new service provider, has BT handed over and to where it had left off, on whether it was still on a month-to-month, the extension that was given? But my interest is wanting to know from which budget was BT Communications being paid, and the arrangements that were in place with Treasury. For how long were they in place with Treasury? I am raising this because we are talking about ICT today, and in particular, we will keep on red flagging BT Communications as a green project that kept on going on and on without a stop. And I am happy today if they are saying here in this committee meeting today that Derco is saying that they have found a replacement. But it is very surprising that the update reports were requesting on this particular tender, we did not get. We had requested to be updated. We had requested to be told how they are implementing this in relation to BT having keep on being on a month-to-month or an extension. And also, we had asked when they said the first time they failed to get a service provider, what is it exactly in terms of the elements, special elements that Derco was looking for that no other company could qualify? And they continued to keep on re-advertising while we were paying BT Communications. So my interest is, how were we paying BT Communications, from which budget? And that also, now that BT, have they handed over? They've taken everything that they wanted to take at Derco, which was theirs. They are nowhere. So we are not going to hear about BT from now, where there's a new service provider. And if there's a new service provider, when were they appointed? When do they start servicing the department? I'll come back again, Slalo. I'll end there. Otherwise, I think if I ask my other three questions, they will not keep up. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Auskwi. We are going back to the president of South African National Civic Organization, Comrade Mpanza.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Today I was saying that we are on top of yourself.
I told you you're a big independent.
Yeah, and on top of the world as well. No, thanks very much for the opportunity, former chairperson of Northwest and the former premier of Northwest. No, Chair, let me welcome the presentation first by the Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister Mashego Dlamini, I think it was a well opening, an eye opener on our side. But Chair, I'm covered by most of the members, started by the question of Honorable Faba, and other members followed also with other questions. Because my understanding was that the computers are here. The only challenge was the issue of the chips, you know, the thing that goes into the computer. I think that what we were told, that was delaying the whole thing. because they had to buy it somewhere, and then the COVID also came in, and then there was a delay. Now I am surprised now when this thing is not moving. Chair, you will know and remember with all other committee members that what we have discovered is that when you look at other work of the department, particularly the political side of things seem to be working a little bit or relatively well. There's so much improvement that side. Even the presentations that we have seen, even the previous one that was done by the ambassador was a very interesting one that was talking about economic diplomacy. But the main challenge of the department, which even the DG has considered, is the administration part of it. And ICT and project management, property management seems to be the you know, when it's the elephants in the room within the administration program. And if those issues are not addressed, even if the work that has been done outside, you know, the administration, other programs, they get affected because the operational core existence of the department depends on administration and ICT. And property management becomes the backbone of the survival of the department and the improvement of the department in all other areas, including improving audit outcomes, which will result in a clean audit, which we have been also complaining about. So, Chair, I want to propose that we put this item as either a standing item on the agenda of the portfolio committee, where we'll get regular updates, or alternatively, as Honorable Swartz as alluded to, we get a clear implementation plan on this one. We've asked the implementation of plan of the department broadly, but also on this one, so that we'll be able to monitor it. It will be like our dashboard or our checklist as to there is a progress in this area. So that will be one of my proposals that maybe going forward, let's have that one. With clear time frames per item within the ICT. And maybe, Chair, when we do our second round maybe of oversight in the department, if we will have, which I think maybe it will be needed before we end our term, maybe we also need to focus to be taken through and maybe to even go physically and see the offices where this ICT is housed and even the equipment that is there, so that at least we'll be able to satisfy ourselves. So, Chair, because really the presentation is good, but sometimes I'm like Thomas of the Bible. I want to touch the wounds and see whether Jesus is really living or not. So I think when we go there, or maybe we can plan a special oversight specifically to go there and just see this project. So that will be my proposal, Chairperson, and my input. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpanza, the President of the South African National Civic Organization. From my side, Deputy Minister and the team, It's six brief issues. One is whether we have made sure that no legalities will arise, either from the side of the former company, which was a service provider, the supplier, and transportation risks. That's one. Two, it is a budget for inevitable technological improvements. How are we going to cater for that? Because it's inevitable. Yes, you can quantify it, but it's inevitable that technology will change all the time. Three, what are the specific treasury issues between the department and treasury, which results in delays? What are those specifics? Are they matters that have been dealt with at the ministerial level? I heard you saying now there's a DG to DG discussion and so on. Why should we rely on DG to DG discussions when actually government operations are supposed to be seamless? We are not supposed to have compartments among the departments, because seamlessness of governance, among other things, must result in efficiency. You don't need these to and fro meetings to convince Treasury on the right things which must be done, which are in the context of implementing the directives which the president gives in every State of the Nation address. Because if there is seamlessness of thought, of convergence between operationalization, between the department and Treasury, it means somehow we are helping the president to achieve his vision for the country. The president spoke a lot about how the government is going to be ICT-sized and so on, especially in the last two, State of the Nation addresses. That's the third issue. The fourth is whether the technology is such that the people, you see, on the side of the portfolio committee, we are trying to introduce what we call people-centered oversight system. My assumption is that on the side of the department, you would be interested in having people through either as individuals, through organizations, through structures, through institutions, for them to participate in the matters of international relations. So my question is, what are the technologies such that it will provide such platforms for the people to engage on matters of IR? The fifth matter is whether this technology is going to help us to achieve unqualified audit. Because when you use technology, it becomes more predictable and some sense of certainty is introduced in as far as managing finances and other affairs of the department is concerned, because you are reducing the human element in the whole process and you are introducing now technology, as I say, which introduces a bit of certainty as far as managing finances and other aspects of the department are concerned. The last issue. Anything that you buy, you have to maintain it. So there will have to be a maintenance budget, whether that has been catered for, because technology sometimes, aspects of it runs into problems of being obsolete. And if you do not, from a risk mitigation point of view, cater for possibility of us encountering this problem, we are going to encounter one day in future a report that will be saying we couldn't anticipate technological changes and this has affected our performance in this and that and that and that. Those are the six issues from my side, Honorable Deputy Minister Candice Dlamini Mashego. Over to you, my sister, and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll request my officials to answer. I'll come at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. And thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll deal with a few issues and then I'll request the Acting CFO and the CIO to add on some of the questions that I would have left out possibly. Honourable Chair, let me start with the issue of the delivery of the tools of trade to our missions, the computers and laptops that we bought as part of refreshing and renewing the tools of trade for the officials. Perhaps just to once again remind the Chair and Honourable Members that there were delays which were beyond the control of the department. In fact, the delays affected the entire world, occasioned by COVID-19 and shortage of equipment, given that every country had gone into these hard lockdowns. One Honourable Member was referring to the shortage of microchips and other things. So the larger part of the delay was that particular issue, which was beyond anybody's control. But once things opened up and we were able to receive the delivery of the tools of trade, with regards to Europe in particular, because this is where the equipment was sourced from by the service provider appointed by the department, delivery is seamless there because it's, as one Honourable Member was saying, it's literally in the neighbourhood of where the manufacturing would have taken place. So that was not difficult. However, in certain parts of the continent, the delivery had to happen from here, which is what the CIO was talking about, where we needed to also take care that issues of damage are mitigated against as part of that process. So the strategy then, because there was also a question to this effect as to why were missions not allowed to procure on their own. So the decision was that it's better to centralize the process, because in that way you ensure that the equipment is one. It makes it easier for maintenance, so that but also from an IT software point of view, it just becomes easier if you're using the same brand, same software, so that when there are issues of maintenance, you're also able to manage that aspect. And then there was the question around the vacancy rate, which leads to capacity challenges as to whether there is a strategy to deal with this. Honourable Members, you'll be aware that the issue of the austerity measures or budgetary constraints when it comes to recruitment is something that affects every department. So we've been having meetings with National Treasury to assist us in this regard. We've reached the ceiling on the compensation of employees. We presented previously to the Portfolio Committee on this, but we've been talking to National Treasury. In fact, the last meeting, I think, was 2 weeks back, where we were appealing to them to assist us to at least fill what we regard as critical vacant positions, which are important for the operations of the department. Otherwise, we're not able to operate optimally, and that leads to gaps. In fact, I sidetrack. We also raised a reputational risk on these matters, because in certain missions, we are already starting to see incidents of strikes because people are dissatisfied with the fact that their cost of living adjustment hasn't been done in certain instances for over 10 years. And then at head office, you have capacity challenges in that in certain directorates, you've got two people or even one person carrying the workload of more than seven officials. So it is a big challenge, but we have made a strong case to National Treasury, and we think that they had us, will hopefully assist us to fill not all positions, but what we regard as critical vacancies that are important for the optimal operations of the department. Now, there was a question around whether this new technology that we are introducing will help us to deal with the backlog on visa applications at our missions. Just to say, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that one of the causes of the delays that has happened with regards to visa applications at our missions abroad was that there was a decision by Home Affairs to stop missions from processing visas there in the countries where we've got accreditation, but rather process applications via Pretoria, all of them. When somebody applies, those visas or those applications rather had to be sent to head office for the process of verification until a decision is taken that this can be granted. That introduced massive delays into the system, and that's why we've had so many complaints in this regard. There's now been a new decision. There's a letter that has gone out. I think I saw it last week from the Minister of Home Affairs, now empowering missions to be able to process these visas. Of course, with a checklist of things they need to check and ensure that they are in place to avoid fraud and all other unintended consequences of, you know, these things being processed in those countries. So the system has been strengthened, risks are being mitigated against, but with the new instruction, we are hopeful that, you know, the issue of visa application delays will no longer be a problem going forward, and the backlog will also be cleared accordingly. That also leads to the other question that was asked about whether the new technology we are introducing will assist with the legalization of documents here at headquarters in Pretoria, DECO. Now, that again is a backlog that was occasioned by COVID-19. So when the hard lockdown was introduced, it meant that people couldn't walk into the building with their documents and get assistance on the spot. A new system had to be introduced where people had to courier their documents and wait, for over 2 months in certain cases, you know, for their documents to be processed and then make appointments to come and collect them, et cetera, after all the necessary verification processes, including, you know, police clearances and all of that have been done. That has introduced a massive backlog. We are, in fact, the minister and the deputy ministers and the DG have been, seized with this matter, in trying to see how do we firstly clear the backlog, but secondly, go back to the normal standard operating procedure of people being allowed to walk into the building and get serviced so that we don't have delays. The unfortunate part of this backlog is that people have lost job opportunities, studying opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. So it's something that we are alive to. But just to say that there is an intervention that has been introduced. We've given that particular business unit additional capacity, even with volunteers and other officials assisting, firstly, to clear the backlog so that we can revert back to the normal way of doing things. And technology is part of the interventions to ensure that we assist citizens and give them the service that they are entitled to without delays. The next question around the BT matter, the CFO will come in to assist with the historical aspect of it in terms of how, you know, it was managed and why there was a need to re-advertise, etc. Safe to say, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, from where I'm sitting, the information I'm exposed to now is that, yes, there is a new service provider that has been appointed, so the contract with the BT has been terminated. However, what happens, and this is normal, in fact, even previously with the previous service provider, when BT was appointed, whatever years ago, 3, 4, 5 years, I'm not sure of the period, the previous service provider, I believe, was Dimension Data. What you have when the old is terminated and the new comes in is a transition period, a handover period, for to use a simpler term, And in that process, that's the changeover, because you can't have the previous service provider switching off, because if they switch off, it means the department cannot operate. So the service cannot be interrupted. So you have that transition period, the period of handover. And that's what we are busy with now. But to answer the bigger question, yes, the BT contract has been terminated. The department will now be invoiced by the new service provider in terms of the service that's been rendered. The arrangement in terms of how BT continues to be paid for the use of their equipment as the handover is happening will be between the new service provider and BT, with the department not being involved. So in terms of who the service provider for the department is, it's the new one. That's the company that we deal with. That's the company that we pay going forward, as I said, as part of managing the transition period. And then the chairperson asked whether there are no legalities with regards to this arrangement. Hopefully not, Chair, without preempting whether there will be issues that will emerge. But from where we are sitting, the process of appointing the service provider followed the normal procurement process of government. And we believe it was above board. And if there are any issues that may emerge, we'll be able to respond to them in terms of how the process was undertaken. Just to say in conclusion that from where I'm sitting, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and I hope the presentation didn't convey a sense that there is no movement on the major projects that we are implementing. If you look at all the key projects that we've outlined as part of the digital strategy, I believe that we are on track. And I'll be comfortable with the proposal that has been put forward that we report quite regularly in terms of progress. As I said, I mean, we've put in a system where we literally meet every day to ensure that there are no gaps and nothing falls through the cracks. And I think the progress reports that we'll submit to the portfolio committee will indicate that there is indeed movement, to the effect that even the operations of the department from a technological point of view should be able to reflect that improvement in terms of connectivity, in terms of allowing people to interface with the department on the work that we do. And I'm talking about stakeholders and the public utilizing the technology that has been deployed. We've even introduced an ITC publication in the department precisely to communicate progress on each progress, even to the internal clientele, which is the staff. So even missions are able to track how far we are moving on each of the specific projects as outlined in the digital strategy. The major breakthrough for us was the appointment of the service provider for the network, because that then allows us to roll out the latest technology, even in terms of conducting digital diplomacy meetings online, video conferencing, better connectivity, because the bandwidth allows all of that. So that for us was a major breakthrough. And I take the point of the Honorable Chair that we need to then give attention to maintenance budget to ensure that the network is maintained and updated with the latest technology as we move forward. I'll leave it at that, Chair, and allow my other colleagues to then add on the other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Clayson. Other colleagues?
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. The point that I just wanted to add on through you, DDG, was the DERCO app that I thought you'd talk more about it, especially after Honourable Chetty asked about the integration of other services, including Home Affairs. Safe to say that we will be implementing a DERCO app, which will ensure that citizens have access to our services. Then the other point was was there any special elements from member, honorable member Swartz, which, prompt us to re-advertise this work? basically, it was not necessarily any special, safe to say that we needed to appoint a service provider that will have global presence to ensure that when we roll out the network in different missions, there's no issues of jurisdiction and limitations to our implementation. The other one that I wanted to respond on was from you, Honorable Chair, when you asked, was there any specific matter that is relating to the Treasury? The matter is basically the moratorium that was raised in 2016-17 by Treasury to ensure that departments do not implement ERP systems, which would be discrete, you know, to the global government. It was to ensure that they manage that process and know which department or, what services or systems they are running to ensure that issues of integration with our legacy systems, does take place. So that is that, a request that we have put forth to Treasury to ensure that we can be able to integrate as they agreed on the systems that we want to implement for our finance and HR system. Thank you, Chairperson. I think those are the points, and the acting CFO can also come in on the last matter about the BT contract. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I just want to comment firstly to the DDG, Clayson, that you see for us, it does not assist the committee if DERCO does newsletters and it does updates for themselves, but not to the committee. It does not also assist us as the committee that is doing oversight if we do not get updated reports from the department. And it also does not assist us that we must always prompt and ask for updates when we are already in the committee meetings. Because all this information we were supposed to get in the form of update reports as to where they are with BT, we know that when a new service provider comes in, it is a norm that there will be a handover. But for us, it's important for us to be updated, because this is a long-standing issue. It's not a new issue that has come up. But then, Chair, this is what I want to ask before we move on to the next thing, because I said I will come back. Because we are servicing 116 missions plus HQ, I am advising the department that in their curriculum, they have to factor in ICT. All these people that get placed, because the Foreign Service Act Bill allows us now to do that. When we do the oversight that Honorable Mpanza has requested that we do to go and see for ourselves and be Thomases from the Bible, we are requesting that ICT must be factored into the curriculum when training is done at DERCO. Two, I want to know what is the qualifications of the current head of ICT at DERCO, because if the person who did the presentation is alone now because one of the officials passed away, that is where our problems start, Chair, because all the missions should have a person who understands ICT, because our problem starts with uploading. Our problem starts when there is miscommunication, especially when they have to report on the financial issues, the cash on cash and those things. Because if we have ICT people who have been trained, who are able to upload from their missions, who do things properly, we will not have issues with the AG. So I am saying, I'm advising the department that they have to factor ICT into their curriculum so that we have officials who understand how the system works, who understand what needs to be done, so that when it comes to the accounting a factor, which is always our problem, from the missions not submitting in time, for issues not often of the petty cash not balancing. So because in the presentation, you are talking of strategy, you are talking about keeping up with world technologies that are there in ICT. I am asking, what are the qualifications of the current person who's heading ICT? How is it possible that one person can actually do this for 116 missions plus HQ? Because I just see red flags if that is where we are going. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Swartz, the Queen. That's how we come to the end of the responses. I don't know whether on your side, Deputy Minister Mashego, there's any other thing you would want to say before we close the meeting.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Well, part of the issues that you have raised, you also raise whether are we really guaranteed that the technology that we are putting are going to help us to obtain the unqualified audit outcome. I want to say, Chair, well, that's our wish. As a department, we are striving for an unqualified audit outcome. That is why the acting DDG of Corporate Services has indicated that we're procuring centrally because we want to prevent reports that might not be in keeping when the audit is done. The other issue, Chair, we want to agree with them, Honorable Mpanza, about submitting the plan. I know in the presentation it was just in brief, but it is put as a roadmap. So we'll request the section really to submit the implementation plan up to the end of the financial year. For us really to look at it and for the members of the committee to also receive progress report around that particular implementation plan. So we accept that we can really take the proposal of Honorable Swartz that we feature in the ICT in the training of the diplomats so that they really become relevant on the issues of IT. But most of them up to so far, they are almost relevant. We don't know about the new ones that will be training because we were all on virtual meetings and all that. So we have learned even if we're never schooled. So I think we'll really take that proposal forward. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Deputy Minister Motlatsa Tona. Waruna Ausmashiho. Honorable members, I want to take this opportunity to really thank you for the constructive engagements.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable.
I'm not finished yet, sir. There's a bite. I have to have my second bite, Chair. We cannot okay. Just let the department get away like this. No way.
That's fine. Have we your second bite.
Holding them accountable, Chair. This is what I'm supposed to do. Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, you've raised a certain concern, and that is on services on IT equipment. Now, if number one, saying to us that there's central procurement on IT, I must be quite honest, that's concerning to me. It opens up for a lot of fraud. It is, to me, that's my opinion, not the right way to go. We know there's a lot of missions around the world. Yes, most probably there are missions where you could not get stock available, but I can assure you, stock were much more available, for instance, in the US than in South Africa. As I know, we waited for our IT equipment, and Parliament, as all members know themselves. So I must say, you know, in Afrikaans they say onsluk maswaar. I don't buy that at all, that we have to do central procurement on IT equipment, especially when IT goes wrong. You need someone in that area that you bought it from to come and help you with this IT. So, Chairperson, I would like us to actually investigate this, and I want to make a proposal that we investigate this procurement on this IT and why we did not just buy certain equipment where it was not available. It's quite easy to say what specs these computers must be, and I can assure you that it would have been much more cost-effective doing it that way than was done at this stage. So I really want to propose that this gets investigated. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Faba. There's no problem with your proposal, but I think we can only proceed to that stage of investigation if you can just in writing indicate to us what are the prima facie possible issues to deal with. Then we can proceed in that direction. Otherwise, we agree with you. Honorable members, I was thanking you for the participation in the meeting. The department led by the Deputy Minister, Kenneth Mashego Dlamini, and Acting DG Muyela, DDG Muyela, the rest of the South African public that observed the proceedings of this portfolio committee, the media, our staff that helped to prepare for the meeting, people who are helping with technology so that everything else is seamless and we are able to hold our meeting successfully. This is how we come to the end of the meeting. Honorable members, we will meet in the sitting and talk. Thank you very much. The meeting is now closed.
Sorry, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes, Lubang.
Sorry, Chair, may I make an announcement, Chair? Just to remind honorable members about the PC workshop in Cape Town, Chair, on Wednesday from 8:30 to 12:30. Transport has been arranged to pick up members from their homes to the venue and back to Parliament. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, excellent. Sure.